Phoenix, I think they'll be relatively open.
Phoenix not being actually a particular CEI project. Yeah. At least I understand in the beginning it was.
Sure.
But then later it became military.
We had ISEX. Okay. But then later we turned it into Phoenix, which was basically a Vietnamese program. And we had some advisors with it. Fundamental element of the program was the attempt to identify the secret apparatus of the communist effort in South Vietnam, the command and control, if you will, political command and control, political order of power.
Okay. Can you tell me when your involvement in Phoenix begins? Was it Robert Comer who asked you to work up a program? Is that... That's sort of the way I hear the story goes, or did it have a different genesis?
I think if you ask about the real genesis, the CIA had urged the Vietnamese government to set up a central intelligence organization, and they did in the early 60s, 61 I think it was. Then we had the Xiang coup and the collapse of really much of the order of the place. And in roughly 65 or so, we began to talk about the need to get the different intelligence agencies to work together again and to exchange their information and to build and improve their coverage of the communist effort in South Vietnam, not just the military, but the whole of the communist effort.
What is the problem? What is the cause of the disunity between, I assume, the military intelligence and civilian intelligence?
The military believed that their function was to find out who the enemy units were that they were going to attack or going to attack them. I mean, it's a traditional military order of battle to determine what the military enemy is. Mm-hmm. And they normally don't think in terms of a party. Focusing on building up a structure to understand the party. CIA does understand that and the need to conduct much more politically oriented intelligence efforts to identify the political forces, to the apparatus that we face, the organizers, the activists, the proselyters, all the rest of it.
Is this what the Central Intelligence Organization, the CIO, was doing?
Well, the CIO was doing some of it, but not very much. And then there was a police special branch that wasn't very good. And intelligence was doing all right, but on a limited target.
Police special branch was in existence before Phoenix?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Phoenix didn't really originate anything other than the idea of a coordinating center,
right?
The EIOCC,
right, and the PIOCS,
whatever it works out to, and develop a center at which all the information could be brought together and compared, and you could gradually build up this political order of battle out of it, so you knew what the enemy was in the neighborhood, not just the military units, but the whole of the enemy structure. We began to talk about that and the need for the different intelligence services to work together and not to try to recruit the same agents and things of that nature. I think in 65, we talked about it under the rubric of ISEX, I-C-E-X.
I'm familiar.
Collection and Exploitation, I think that was the name.
Okay.
And that was an attempt which went on through there. In 67, Comer set up the CORDS, which was designed to centralize the pacification program generally, and as one of the elements to understand the communist counter-organization, you might say. And we developed the concept of a Phoenix program in late 67.
Can you tell me who the we is, you and our staff?
Yeah, I've forgotten. I wasn't in Vietnam at that time. I was in Washington, but I was traveling back and forth frequently.
Were you the East Asian?
Yeah, East Asian chief.
Okay.
The station, I think, was doing a lot of it. The CIA station was taking the lead on the need for this sort of thing. And I was supporting it and pushing it and so forth. They developed, the government announced it in December 67, I think, but nothing happened, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tet came along, and by that time I was there.
Okay.
And in the spring of 1968, Comer and I, and I don't know, it's both of us, said we need to revive this after the initial shock of Tet and the refugee handling and so forth. We needed to revise this and revive this effort. And so we rewrote the different documents to get it launched, worked with the Vietnamese authorities, the president, the prime minister, and so forth, to get a program launched. And this was announced with a presidential decree in early July 68, and the prime minister led a parade, which kicked it off. One of the points I had made in discussions with the Vietnamese was that it should not be a secret program, it should be an open program.
Mm-hmm.
It should be a program that made itself obvious that this was an attempt to understand and to combat the secret communist apparatus, and that we wanted the support of the population in the process.
Okay, let me backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
Prior to asking you about the Phoenix Directorate in courts, can you tell me a little bit about the genesis of PRU, of Provincial Reconnaissance Units, which I understand are an integral part of Phoenix?
Sure. Well, they were one of the elements of Phoenix.
Right.
They were one of the elements which participated in Phoenix.
Right. Like now, police special branch.
Like the police, like
National
the military,
police field
like
force.
Everything else.
Right. Okay.
In the mid-60s, the provinces in Vietnam were pretty wild places. The enemy was at the gates. You wrapped the barbed wire around in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
Fended off some mortars, that sort of thing. And the agency had experience with paramilitary activities. One of the things they came up with, a lot of province chiefs said, look, I've got to have some force around here that I can use. I can't depend upon the regular military. I've got to have something that will respond, will do a good job.
Because the regular military was not responding.
Not responding to them.
Okay.
You know, they were responding to their own desires and so forth.
Okay.
And at that time, the paramilitary forces, these territorial forces, you should say, the regulars, the regional force and the popular force, were very weak, very badly equipped, and all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
So various of the CIA province officers would conceive of the idea of developing a small unit at the province level, which would be under the direct authority of the province chief, and would act in the province against the enemy that they had there. And so we cleared that, with the necessary political clearances at the various levels, Vietnamese and American, and began a program of supporting these. And they'd be 50 or 100 men at a province. They would be given very good training and have some pretty good leadership, and they were very aggressive types. And they racked up a good record of being aggressive and going out against this secret enemy. After Phoenix, they were one of the participants in it. But gradually, the police improved their capabilities. The regional and popular forces improved their capabilities, and there was really less need for this sort of special unit by 1969 or so. So we were proceeded to fold them into the police and make them. And they were eventually totally integrated into the police and made into regular police officers.
Okay. And as to the Phoenix Directorate within Cords, is this something that was originally conceived as part of Cords, or was it something that was tacked on after, I know there were maybe 10 or 12 directorates, public safety, this, that. Is Phoenix one of the originals, or does it come on later?
Courts were set up in 67. I don't know when Phoenix directorate started. I would guess it started in 68.
What is the role then of
the
Phoenix director?
Staff level. You know, the staff level. What its function was to be a staff at the national level to advise the appropriate Vietnamese authorities that were involved in Phoenix, particularly the special branch, but also, see, the Vietnamese put up a special office for Phoenix.
Apart from the Phoenix directorate?
Well, no, apart from the special branch of the police.
Okay.
I mean, they had a special office which came out of the prime minister, I believe, as I recall, reported to the prime minister, and it was a national staff level to direct the Phoenix program in Vietnamese channels and to make sure that one was organized at each region and each province to keep the statistics and all that sort of thing. And the Phoenix directorate, of course, was established as a counterpart.
Okay.
And to work with that national staff on the Vietnamese side and to help them to articulate the all sorts of ideas we had, such as booklets to describe the normal structure of a province committee and the normal kinds of people that would be on it, and we categorized. One of the early things we did was conceive of and then get the Vietnamese to agree to categorize the different members of the communist apparatus so that we could begin to distinguish between the ones that were, not just call them all communists, but to distinguish the leadership, the A category.
From the B and the C.
From the B, which was the cadre kind of level, and the C, which just the followers, and you know, forget about the followers, we're not interested. It was an attempt to get people out of that, they're just communist thinking. We couldn't care less if they were just communists. We wanted to know whether they were the leaders or the cadre. Because those were the important people we were after. Followers, you know, you ought to recruit the followers yourself.
Right, I understand.
But you do need to know a lot about the enemy leadership.
How big a
staff? I mean,
staff?
It was that kind of thing that we would work on, you know, articulating ideas like that and then discussing them with the Vietnamese and seeing whether they agreed, and then they'd produce try to get the Vietnamese to write the draft of whatever it was, and then we'd critique it for them and, you know, comment on it, and then finally they'd issue it as a Phoenix directive, and then we'd translate it into English and send it down the American chain so the Americans would know what the ideas were being promoted.
I understand. Okay. How big a staff is the Phoenix directorate composed of?
I'm really guessing at the moment, but I'd say something on the order of 15 or 20, maybe something.
Okay.
I really can't remember it precisely, but I guess that would be a reason.
Okay.
Or not very much.
Okay. Some civilian, some military.
Yeah, probably mostly military. We'd have, I think it happened that most of the Phoenix staff officers were CIA officers, loaned to me by CIA, so that they were separated from the CIA station.
Right.
Given over from, just as I was separated from the CIA. Given over to me to run the Phoenix thing. We'd always have a military deputy.
Right.
And then we'd have, you know, half a dozen more.
Through my research, I think that Evan Parker's deputy was a Colonel Buto. Does that ring a bell?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. It's interesting to me to know if you had a role in the staffing of the Phoenix directorate.
The choosing of the people?
The choosing of the people.
I'm sure, yeah, I was certainly on the choice of the senior American.
So you would have chosen...
They would send me a name. The agent, you know, we'd say,
personnel department,
so-and-so's going home,
yeah,
we need a replacement, and then they'd say, well, we commend this one to you, and if I thought he was all right, I accepted him, but if I didn't, I may have objected. You know, that's what I did with all the other agencies.
Okay, so you approved the appointment of Evan Park?
I'm sure I did, yes.
Okay. How did the CIA staff officers who were assigned to the Phoenix Directorate on loan, being separated from the CIA station, how did they work together? Was there any conflict in terms of chain of command in that regard?
No, not really. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there were individual cases, or, you know, not a very great many.
I know of none, because I know of none of these people.
I'm sure there would have been occasions.
Okay.
Minor occasions, but no, the CIA officer, just like the military officer, he's a career CIAer.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get himself in a snit with the CIA home base while mm-hmm. he's out on this separate assignment. So he probably, and he used to keep some contact with his CIA colleagues. And so okay. I encouraged him to keep him advised as what he was doing.
I assume,
what was going on. And the whole idea was that the CIA could drop this chore of encouraging this kind of a system, a mm-hmm. system, and could go after its own agent operations.
What is the difference between the CIA station agent operations and the CIA agents in Phoenix, their operations?
Well, the CIA station was doing two main things by then. It had done a lot of other things before. It was working with the police special branch very directly, and it was the advisory group for the police special branch, just mm-hmm. as the public safety people were the advisory group for the regular police.
Okay.
They were also developing their own independent agents.
The
unilateral agents that they would develop.
And that's just to keep tabs on the different groups so that they know what they're thinking and doing and planning.
No. Agents against the enemy.
Agents, okay.
Against the communists. That's what the, you know, developing better professional agents among the communists, in the communist system.
Okay.
I mean, their objective was not to hurt that structure. Their objective was to put guys in it.
Penetrate it.
And hopefully get them further and further up.
Right.
So you're getting better information.
I understand from
you. Those are two chores that the station had.
Right.
The CIA officer over in the Phoenix would be working with the Vietnamese to try to get this office going and this function going of understanding better the secret apparatus.
Okay. That's...
He wouldn't clears be developing up. An agent, you know.
Okay.
He wouldn't be working with the special police.
Right.
He'd be working with the Phoenix.
Okay. That's... I recently talked with a fellow who was in a Feng Huang advisory group, and it was a number 16, and I believe it was Da Nang. I'm not sure, we didn't get into where it was. We didn't get into much of anything. Other than that, he was in a Feng Huang advisory group, which is why I'm asking you what they were. I know that they, each province had an advisory team and a number, but I understand that the Feng Huang advisory groups are different than the province advisory teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the, you know, Cords mm-hmm. had a refugee director at mm-hmm. Territorial Forces Directorate, Phoenix Directorate, and Development Directorate, and I don't know all the other different things. That you
mm-hmm.
They're in all those reports with me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the regional level, you would have a refugee officer with an office, a development office, so forth.
Okay.
At the province level, you would have the same thing.
Okay.
Now, they didn't have a full-fledged one below the province level, but at the district level, you would have a Feng Huang advisor.
Okay.
Now, at the district, you'd be a lieutenant or something.
Okay.
So the Fung Wong advisory team would be a member of the province advisory team.
Okay.
It would be an element of the province advisory team.
Okay.
Under the province senior advisor.
Okay. How many people would be in a Fung Wong advisory group then?
At a province level?
At the province level.
Three or four, okay. Five, something like that. Maybe a couple of sergeants, a couple of officers, something like that.
And would there, do I understand you then that there would also be a Fung Wong advisory group at a district also?
There would be an advisor. It would probably be a single guy.
Okay. Now, what is the difference between a Phoenix advisor and a Phoenix coordinator? I was over at Center for Military History today.
Yeah.
I understand, following in your footsteps, reading province reports. And I read one from Vin Long in 68 or 69, and the province senior advisor wrote that a Phoenix advisor had been killed, and this was causing the Phoenix coordinator a lot of problems because there had not been a replacement. So would a Phoenix advisor or Fung Wong advisor then perhaps be one of these, the person at the district, or perhaps a member of the Fung Wong advisory group, which was controlled by a Phoenix coordinator?
In the way you phrased that particular sentence, I would almost interpret it that it meant that the Vietnamese coordinator was short an advisor.
Okay.
Because the American advisor had been killed, then the Vietnamese, who was the senior Vietnamese for that province, was having a tough time because he didn't have an advisor.
Okay.
Because he hadn't had a replacement for the advisor who was killed.
But there is an American Phoenix coordinator.
As I say, I don't recognize the name as any term.
Okay.
I would think that as I interpret that sentence, the coordinator meant the Vietnamese.
Okay. In terms of perhaps there's something you can help me to clear up. The difference between core and region.
Region is Vietnamese.
Okay.
Core is American.
Okay.
Well, no, core is also Vietnamese. But it was region was Vietnamese.
Okay.
And just in order to screw everything up, we had to. We had in the Vietnamese regions were 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time we had, how do we do it? Well, call them synonymous for our purposes at this stage.
Okay.
For a long time, the Americans had the numbers screwed up, so they had different numbers working with the Vietnamese regions, and it didn't make any sense at all.
Okay. Now, did the people in the province then would report to either a corps or a region person?
Yeah.
And who would be a Fung Wong advisor, but at that echelon?
At that level, yeah.
Okay. And then would those people at core region report to the Phoenix Directorate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The American side.
On the American side, right. And I suppose the Vietnamese would go to the national level.
Side.
Okay. Where did John Paul Vann fit in that scheme?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't in Phoenix at all. He was the region senior advisor, regional advisor.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
My wife is Holly Shelton Colby, Doug Valentine.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm thinking your name, Doug Valentine.
That's right.
Nice to meet you. Please sit down.
I already have some water too. Thank you. That's fine.
Is that
for
all
me.
You'd like?
For me, yes.
Okay. I just had a call from the Mexicans.
Oh, really?
I had to write a letter. I got a little nasty, but I had to do it.
sorry.
No, I'm glad to do it. No,
no, okay. And yet, I understand that even if he was not in Phoenix, he certainly impacted on it.
Well, he directed it.
He directed
for his region.
Okay.
You see,
right.
Here's the president.
Okay.
And here's the American ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And under the president is the prime minister.
Okay.
And he has the National Phoenix Directorate working for him. Under the ambassador is me.
Okay.
And I have the Phoenix Directorate working for me.
Okay.
Go down one, you get the corps or region commander on the Vietnamese side, and he has a Vietnamese staff.
Okay.
And he has a regional advisor on the American side.
Okay.
With a staff of Phoenix as well as all the other subjects that he was worried about, like territorial forces and economic development, all those things.
Okay.
And then you get down to the province, and the province chief has a staff, and the province senior advisor has a staff.
Okay, so I understand then.
It's on the two sides, you know, here's the American side and here's the Vietnamese side.
Mm-hmm.
There's a counterpart relationship all the way down.
So John Paul Vann was directly under you, and horizontally to him, amongst other things, is the Phoenix person.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I understand. In his Senate testimony, he said that Phoenix was started as an experiment in three corps with five DIOCs. Is that
district whatever center? Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's probably. I'm sure if he said it was right.
Okay.
I think we did start in three corps. Yeah.
Okay. It's sort of tangential question. What is the pacification security coordination division? Do you recall that?
As I remember, it was a.
I can give you some names. Mr. Gregg was at one time the director of that, the head of that directorate. Another time there was a Mr. R.L. Eschbach.
Oh, wait a minute, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a cover name for the CIA stations. Is that right?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a surprise to me. Okay. The reason I ask is, and I can,
What that was a staff. I don't know whether it covered all the CIA people or just the ones that were working with courts. See, we had.
It's part of courts. It is one of the directorates.
Well,
one of the 12 directorates in courts.
Well, then it was the group that was running the R.D. Cadres.
Oh, okay. Now that's very interesting because after talking with Frank, of course, we never even really. We talked from 8 till 2:30 and only got to 1965.
Yeah.
But the reason...
To his staff, probably. In other words, those three people may have been at the regional level.
Okay.
I can't tell offhand. Is it writing to them?
Could you tell me a little bit about your feelings personally about Mr. John Paul Vann?
Oh, I greatly admire his pictures on the wall. He's a great guy. I have said that I thought I'd made the biggest impact on the war when I pulled him out of Three Corps and sent him to Four Corps.
Okay.
Up to the Delta, because as far as I was concerned, that was going to be the major area of the pacification battle. He did a spectacular job. We were very good friends, very close.
When did you change him from three to four?
In the spring of 68. Summer of 68.
Did he subsequently make another change to two corps?
He went up to two corps. He became the chief there. The reason he wanted to be chief there was that he would be the mm-hmm. senior American advisor. He would not be just the corps advisor. He would